Now we explore mermaid fandom, the evolution of mermaids and pop culture and mystical trends. On TikTok alone, the search term mermaid core has racked up hundreds of millions of views. Join in the conversation. What resonates with you about these mythical creatures? Call in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Echo is a professional mermaid entertainer and mermaid instructor trainer in Wisconsin with programming for children on mermaid culture and ecology. Echo, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here.
Good morning. Okay, fill us in. Where did your interest in being a mermaid come from?
Yeah, well, I am a Wisconsin native through and through, and I grew up on the St. Croix River, which is the one that runs into the Mississippi. We used to go out on our boat, our family boat, every weekend, every day after school, and I would tie my feet together with boat rope and put on my grandma's flippers and pretend to be a mermaid. And now that I am an instructor, that is the absolute last thing you should do when it comes to safety. But I had a really good time trying to stay underwater as often as I could and as long as I could, and the fascination just sort of grew, and everyone thought I was weird, and now it's my job. So it certainly came full circle, and I'm so glad that it's catching on now, and it's more and more popular every day.
It seems like there is this global community coming together and all of these forums online, like Mern Network. What is that like in the mermaid community?
I am so glad that you mentioned Mern Network. Nobody knows about it. And that's actually how I got started. But that is one of my favorite parts of the mermaid community is the community, right? So I have all these really, really special and cool friends all over the world that I never would have met if it wasn't for this job and this industry. So I have a mentor in Cozumel, Mexico. I have another one in Canada and another one in California. And this job has taken me across the country and across the world and back. And it's all because of the passion for aquatic conservation that each and every one of these merfolk has through and through and all day long. So it's definitely a very fun job and a really tight-knit community.
What do you ask each other? What are conversations like in the community?
We talk a lot about conservation, but we also talk a lot about inclusivity and action and policy. So one of the nonprofits that I work for is called Mermaid at Any Age. I'm a board member, and we talk about how we can increase aquatic conservation. We also talk about how we can increase swimming safety for kids, especially if kids of color don't have access to swimming lessons and swimming pools in the same way that white kids do. We also talk about inclusivity. So how can we represent the mermaid community in a way that is inclusive to folks from all genders, all backgrounds, all races, all sexualities, right? So it's a really community-oriented community, and we're constantly looking for ways to solve the world's problems. We just have fishtails, so we're doing it in a creative way.
What does it take to become a certified mermaid?
That is a really good question and a really important one. And it's definitely my top priority and concern right now. With the rising popularity of mermaiding, we have a lot of people going on sites like Amazon and Wish and just buying a tail for their seven-year-old, you know, and that's not safe, right? There are approved brands out there, but they can be hard to find if you don't know what you're looking for. So getting certified is kind of the step one in doing this correctly. I always say to parents and new merfolk, tails are not toys. They are a tool, and we have to learn how to use them safely in order to have fun, right? So in order to get certified, I recommend PADI. I'm a PADI mermaid instructor trainer, and we do classes here in the Midwest, but I can also travel to you. You can visit my website for more information on that, but I teach kids of all ages. But most of my students are actually adults. And the people who get these certifications are looking to do mermaiding safely and responsibly, but also looking to get the certification so that we can get gigs in a way that is approved by this world-class third-party brand, PADI, right? So without my PADI certification, I wouldn't be able to work at aquariums or, you know, work at larger scale gigs like that.
How does wearing a tail complicate swimming?
Well, for me, not wearing a tail complicates swimming. But But it's funny now, if I take off my tail or my monofin, I feel like a fish out of water, which is hilarious. But I think that for somebody who has never tried it before, obviously your legs are bound. So you are in an environment where you might feel kind of stuck your first time you put it on. So that's why it's really important to do this with an instructor or in a safe environment. They are also very heavy. They can be. My silicone tail weighs about 45 pounds dry and about 60 pounds wet. So obviously it's a prosthetic that is going to drag you to the bottom of your environment. And they're also very, very tight. They're custom fit to your body measurements, usually if it's silicone. So, you really have to know what you're doing. It's like, you wouldn't get in a car without having a driver's license. You certainly should not get in a silicone tail without knowing what you're doing a little bit, you know? So
can you describe the colors, kind of give us a description of what the costume looks like for our mind's eye?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. So Echo is my character and she is a purple mermaid. So she loves the colors purple and blue and white and opalescence. So the bottom of her tail features a swirl, which is my kind of signature look. And it swirls around my ankles and up the back of the heels. And that represents how I got started mermaiding. So it's kind of a nod to my origins. When I had ankle surgery in 2012 was when I first discovered the mermaid community. And so I represent my recovery from ankle surgery and back into sports and active lifestyle through mermaiding with that swirl around my ankle. But yeah, she's a beautiful purple sparkly princess mermaid. So she's certainly fun to look at.
Wisconsin mermaid entertainer and instructor trainer goes by Echo, helping us understand mermaiding, why these mythical creatures are so revered in pop culture, having a moment. You can bring your mermaid thoughts to the conversation at any point. Call in with a question at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We channel our inner mermaid, reflecting on what to make of mermaid trends and the online communities forming around these mythical creatures that embrace that half-human, half-fish look. Join in with your questions, your observations, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Echo is a mermaid entertainer and instructor in Wisconsin and stays with us. Marcus in Milwaukee has something. Marcus, hi.
Good morning. So I went to UW-Milwaukee. I'm a history major. I have 24 or 42 credits towards a master's. I want to say that to everyone out there, I actually think mermaids may be real. And the reason being is that when we first were able to write down things that were occurring when we first developed writing, there's very few people who could read. And there's even fewer that could write and read. So this stuff wasn't being written down as some of the original stories, just because I think that they were good stories. I think that these were actually things that our ancestors were seeing, because you have such things as the Telekinese off of Greece. You have the Alunta off of Alaska. There's other creatures that have been seen off of Antarctica. You have pictures in the Alaska caves in France. And so I believe, just based on the whole, I would say that these are actually real creatures that I don't know if they're still out there, but at some point they were actually out in the waters and our ancestors did see them, because we wouldn't write this down.
Marcus, thank you for that. Echo, can you share insights there?
Well, I think Mark should be a professional mermaid. Certainly knows more about that stuff than I do. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I like to say to my students, mermaids are one of the most special, if not, in my humble opinion, the most special cryptid that exists, because we have these discussions today, right? Which is not true for most other cryptids. Are mermaids actually real? And there's a sense of wonder there that still exists that maybe we don't quite have for Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster, or, some of our other friends out there that may or may not be real. So I think it's a really special feature of mermaids, and it's the reason why they're so popular today, for sure.
You have a live show at Discovery World in Milwaukee. What does this show look like?
Yeah, so I am a conservation educator through and through, first and foremost. And what we do is we put that conservation education up front in front of every show. And that is the guiding light that we use to write the show. So I take the script and I write it every show. And then I have a Discovery World employee aquarist who will read the script and go through the show. But each month we cover a different topic. This weekend we are talking about aquatic access and freshwater access. And our shows are always focused on the Great Lakes and freshwater because less than 4% of water research on environments are on freshwater environments, and the rest are on marine environments. But as we know, freshwater is a really important resource for humans. You know, we drink it, and we need to be focusing more funding, more policy, more attention on freshwater. So I always try to do that. So freshwater access, what is that? Who has enough water? How are we turning off our sinks when we're not using them? Are we taking showers instead of baths? Who has access to fresh water? Who doesn't? So come along to Discovery World this Saturday and you can learn all about freshwater access and learn it from a mermaid.
Mermaids, a gateway to conservation ethic. Let's go to Lindsay in Westby. Lindsay, hi.
Good morning. I grew up in Florida, and I don't know if you know about Wekiwachi Springs there, where they have the mermaid show. But I was wondering, you know, there they seem to dive very, very deep in their performances. And what is the depth that mermaids dive in Wisconsin?
That's a really good question. So my PR, my personal record, I hit in Cozumel, Mexico, which was 62 feet. Of course, I don't have access to that kind of free diving here in Wisconsin, but typically for paddy course, we dive about 30 feet. The aquarium I perform in is 24 feet.
How do you interact with the audience when you're doing these sometimes complex tricks underwater? You've got breath, exertion, and you've got people looking at you on the other side of the glass.
Yeah. I like to say that if you think, you know, your job's hard, try doing it blind, hypothermic, and you know, you can't see anything, you can't hear anything, and you're very, very cold. So that's my job environment. I don't know who's on the other side of the glass. I can't see or hear anything, so I'm just completely trusting my safety team. I give kids what I call mermaid beacons, but they're actually just little ring lights, and that kind of helps me see where people are, but I really have no idea who's there. I've hit my forehead on the glass a couple of times because I really have no visibility. And that's kind of unique to that specific aquarium tank. Sometimes I have better visibility in different tanks, but it's just years and years and years of practice and training and a really good safety team.
How do you keep your makeup and your hair pieces and the whole look of the costume all in place and perfect underwater?
That's a very common question I get on TikTok as well. Yeah, there's a lot of secrets that I have, and some of them are maybe not so safe. I wouldn't say that they're FDA approved. Like, I use lash extension glue on my face, fake lashes, but you shouldn't probably do that underwater. You know, little things like that. But I have, it's just years of trial and error. One thing I do that works pretty well is I wear a velvet headband under my wig. I also braid my real hair under my wig and pin the wig to those braids. So there's a lot of things that go into it as far as securing things. But really, my main goal is just nothing, absolutely nothing can come off, right? Because I am responsible for the health and safety of my coworkers, the fish I perform with. So we need to make sure that my costume is fish approved and fish safe.
We're talking about performing as a mermaid with Echo, a mermaid entertainer and trainer in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Shauna in Milwaukee is here. Hi, Shauna. What is your question?
Good morning. So my question is a little bit different than what we've been talking about. I'm wondering about any situations where you've had to deal with like being objectified as a mermaid, and how are those handled? I mean, the mermaids are gorgeous, but I wouldn't be surprised if there have been issues that have had to be handled.
Yeah. Thank you for that question. It happens all the time, actually. There hasn't been a time when I've put on my costume and had that hasn't happened, sadly. And it's a really big annoyance for me because I'm there for the kids. You know, I'm there to do my job. I'm there to connect them with fresh water and get them inspired to become the nation's next freshwater steward. So really, I see it now as an impediment towards doing my job. How I handle it is I will do the same kind of thing that Disney princess trained actors will do, which is redirection. If that doesn't work, I'll hand them off to my tender, whoever is with me. But I always bring the focus back to the kids and, you know, just redirect my attention to them and start singing a song or make it fun for them, because really that's who I'm there for.
Why do you choose to work in educating kids and not adults?
Well, it's a really good question. Thanks for asking that. I think that kids are the future, and kids are the next step towards solving the climate crisis. I do work with adults in my day job. I work as a program manager for a nonprofit that works on the Great Lakes. And I tell you, they're a lot less fun to work with, right? There's policy and rules and government and decision making, and none of that has to happen when you're working with kids. When you're working with kids, all you need to do is inspire them. And that can be done through whimsical storytelling and playing games and making jokes and making your face into like a bubble fish face. And they laugh and giggle. And suddenly they're like, oh my God, I have to protect Echo. Like, she's so cute, right? And that's just way, way more fun for me. And I also have seen the example of it working firsthand. I get phone calls back from parents and they'll say, you know, my kid met you 3 years ago. And now anytime I try to take a plastic bag from Target, they yell at me, you know, mm-hmm. We're constantly bringing our reusable bags to the grocery store. So I know it works. And I know that the impact is hit so much harder with kids than with adults. So I think it's really important work, and I'm so grateful to do it.
We only have a few moments left, but I just want to run by Mermaid Corps by you. How do you bring mermaid into your overall look and wardrobe when you're not performing?
Oh, I actually try not to. which makes me maybe different from other merfolk, but when it's your job, you know, you probably wouldn't want to wear your work blazer when you're off, you know? So I don't.
That's fair. That is fair. Echo, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Echo is a professional mermaid entertainer and mermaid instructor in Wisconsin, currently pursuing their master's at UW-Milwaukee's School of Freshwater Sciences. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show and Mermaids here on the Ideas Network.